Well, now we have sound. Wow. Wow. Thank you. So our entire intro has been null and void. So
that's okay. We can just go do what we normally do.
I think it's hilarious that I took our producer Steve Stone's phone call as if he was a caller into our call-in show tonight and said, yes, Steve. And he's like, there's no sound, brother. Nobody can hear you. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Click, just hang up, unmute, and go, well, welcome to He Said, She Said with Adam Lowry and
Patricia May.
We're going to have to go back and edit that entire first 7 or 8 minutes of banter along the way.
That's okay. It's building up, so I'm good. I think we could do a quick do-over.
Yeah, it's like, and take two.
Yeah.
This is the second time. It's because I'm muted. I have it all set up, right? So we're all ready to go live, and then I mute everything until we get ready, and then Adam forgets to unmute it. So that's all on me. But tonight, what we were talking about when we opened up was we were nervous even to say the topic that we were going to talk about. It was even nerve-wracking. And so we stumbled through it, then we finally said it once. But tonight, we are talking about the sexual harassment scandals. And more that the layers are pulled back, the more and more it's revealing this, what I titled the Mad Men subculture, if you will. I've seen it, right? And we're going to tread lightly, maybe. We probably skipped the first 8 minutes of light banter.
Yeah. You know, when you think about it, though, does everybody really want us to tread lightly? I mean, that's kind of why we're here.
Yeah.
Because people tread lightly or almost are more thinking about what someone's going to think of what they do or say than to what's really actually on their mind. Doesn't mean it's right. I mean, because is there really a, like you say,
no, there's certainly a right and wrong when it crosses certain lines, right? Sure. But before we dive too deep, I wanted to recap on what we were talking about was the difficulty of saying it, the uncomfortableness that we're feeling that, you know, each day I was waking up going, who's next, right? Who have we seen? And we also said we hadn't seen any reverse where it was a male complaining about a female doing a sexual harassment.
We know that that happens as well.
It does. It certainly does. But we haven't seen any of that yet. Male dominated, right? But, you know, that nervousness, we were joking about how whoever that guy is, you know, that's been coming to work, looking the woman up and down, hey, looking good today, right? Or something like that. Or pulling a Donald Trump and saying, good figure.
You're in good shape.
Yeah, right. Pulling this guy. And rather now this guy gets to come to work squeezing his ass cheeks tight on some holy shit. You know, the women that used to walk by his corner office or cubicle or whatnot, they were like, fuck. You know, now he's the one coming to work going, shit.
I have to say that does bring me a lot of pleasure. Yeah. Like, you know, because I've been around it. And I won't even voice any of my opinion just yet if you have something that you want to put out there first. But it's when you were saying that it's such a touchy subject, it's almost like I want to say, before I say anything, to go, now this is with this particular circumstance, because there's such a broad range of the age diversity that it could happen. And I think that rules change when it's a different age, you know? Sure. So it's almost like before I say anything, I want to go, this is for everybody that's 18 or over.
Almost a disclaimer, but probably before each of our statements tonight and many others, we're going to have a disclaimer. We'll probably say, look, all things being, you know, it's certainly something I've seen and witnessed. And let's walk into another reality that's kind of on the outskirts of this is workplace romances, right? Or even movie sets, right? You look at Matt Lauer, right? Katie Couric, people that work together. So let's look at the obvious of things that we know happen, right? Is the workplace romance. And Chris Fisher is the first caller calling back in to join us. And what we were talking about is that workplace, that it happens, right? You spend, probably more time at your job than you do at home a lot of times. So these are the people, your social circles where you hang out. Yeah. So let's be honest that these relationships happen there, right?
I would say a large, large majority, which is also why even when it comes to people that babysit your children, I don't want them to spend more time with my children.
Yeah.
They spend more time with your man or your woman. That's where things can happen.
Yeah. Chris Fisher, thanks for calling in, man. Welcome to He Said, She Said. I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we just did a show. Just had you on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, we were just walking into the workplace part, the obvious ideas that, you know, relationships at work actually happen, right? And the idea that this isn't an uncommon practice. We see it a lot. And kind of we're walking into the sexual harassment issues and approach of this subculture, almost the Mad Men subculture, as I titled it, is.
Well, I think that we have opened... I don't know. I don't want to say it's Pandora's box, but that envelope has been opened, and there's a lot that is pouring out of it, and it's on a spectrum. And but I, listen, I'm not trying to get on like defend certain behaviors, anything like that. But like the entire or the way that we interact with each other seems to be changing. The genders interact with each other seem to be changing. And like you said, it's gone from a madman kind of mentality where, you know, the man's at the top, the woman is the submissive one, and it's just a matter of wearing her down, and she'll, you know, finally either bed her or get her to marry you or whatever that is. And that stuff just doesn't seem like this next generation's like, no, we're done with that. That's not going to happen anymore. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum are your Weinsteins and all these other allegations of, you know, coercion into sex and the way that people have used their power to manipulate people into precarious situations where they don't feel like they have any outs. Like the woman that alleged, you know, that Russell Simmons, you know, forced himself on her. She said that in the end, she acquiesced and just ended up going down on him. So, and, you know, he wore her down. He's trying to get her to have sex, according to her. And even although that didn't work, she still just gave in and followed through on something. So you have that on one end of the spectrum, and then I think you have on the other end of the spectrum, guys, men now going, wait a second. Like for instance, Adam, and I don't know if I'm babbling. I'm usually babbling.
You're fine, man. You're fine. You're covering both ends.
For instance, I have, it's, when you talk about being a man and being a man and someone being a man, I'm not a man. We're allowed to cuss on your show, right?
Fuck yeah.
No fucking right. Way.
I'm not a motherfucking man. I've never been a motherfucking man. It's bothered me since my motherfucking teenage years. When I would be talking to guys, I'm talking about 14, 15, 16 years old, and they're telling me what they did with some chick. I never gave a fuck. I never gave a fuck in my teen years. I didn't give a fuck in my early 20s what you did with some fucking chick or what you're going to do with some fucking chick when you get her. I don't care. So, but then as I got older and older, I'm like, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. I'm not a man. I'm a pussy. There's something wrong with me. So I actually tried to become more aggressive. More rape, you know, talk, you know, in the context of rape culture, I tried to become more rapey as I got into, you know, my late 20s, early 30s. But what I mean by that is in those moments where I thought, man, I'm feeling awkward and I don't know what to do here, I'm just going to reach out and kiss her, or I'm just going to reach out and
be, I'm going to be a man is what you're saying. It's not that, not the rapey idea, but the idea, right?
They want somebody to be assertive. Oh, women want men to be assertive. You got to be assertive. All right, well, shit, I'm not fucking assertive. Well, let me start being assertive. And it never felt right. And so now I kind of feel like, you know, later on in life that I don't know, there's a part of me that feels validated. Like, holy crap, there wasn't anything wrong with me.
Yeah, you were just a man.
You know, I'm a nice guy. I'm a sensitive guy. I listen to women when they fucking talk. When they're talking, I'm not just sitting there thinking of ways to try to get them in bed. And I've always been made to feel like shit because I don't think that way. Well, you're not really a dude. You're half a woman. You know how many times I've been called a fag and a sissy and a woman in my life? They're uncountable. Hundreds of times. Thousands of times in my life I've been called a woman or a fag or a sissy because I don't think like other fucking douchebags think. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think you bring up a huge point about the influence of culture at an early age because, you know, even us guys, you know, that would talk, sports guys maybe, the measure of, you know, how far did you get? I mean, we played baseball with it, right? First base, second base. I got a third base, right? I mean, it's what we're tattletaling about.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Seriously, I know it sounds juvenile, but think about that shit. Think about how many of your boys, and you probably did it a time or two yourself, you get a little lucky and you get your hands down their pants and you're like, hey, smell my fucking fingers. I don't want to say it's okay, but it's one thing when that shit's happening at 14 or 16 because it's the first time you've touched a woman's vagina. But when you all of a sudden you meet up with somebody and you're fucking 30 or 40 and they're like, hey, man, smell my fingers. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
You're a 45-year-old fucking man.
Yeah, that culture is started as a young boy. I mean, it becomes the performance based almost. I've been with, or I know this, or I've done that. And it's a culture we can't ignore because this is that part of the conversation a lot of people wouldn't talk about is when we were kids, when you're in high school, when it was, it's not everybody, right? But that culture, though, is a part of it. And then you watch it sprout and it just goes into the workplace, into college even, and progresses forward. That cultural influence is a big deal, Chris.
No, definitely. That's why, you know, when we first started hearing, and I don't know who coined the phrase, you know, the rape culture rape culture. When I first heard that, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Because that is absolutely ridiculous and inflammatory. But then I realized that's what you're doing when you use a term like that. When you come up with something like rape culture, yes, it's inflammatory. Yes, it's extreme. But you're trying to start a conversation about all the other things that lead up to coercion and assaults and, you know, and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So on that, I think one of the things that we have to look at in our culture is the culture of dominance. Because that's earlier in the spectrum, is that so many of us are raised, we're constantly being competitive. We are, and I'm talking about, hey, listen, competition is natural and part of what we are and, you know, who we are and what we do. However, there's this hyper-competitiveness into boys that is beaten into boys. And not only that hyper competition, but that to dominate your environment, that you have to be the fucking alpha of alphas, even if that's not who you are. It is something that be a man, and you have to dominate your environment. And for a lot of people, you know, a lot of us, we can go through that and come out the other end, and you know, whatever, you're fine. But for those who are in a long time, and this is like people who are in sports for a long time, or even once you get into college and you're in those highly competitive fields, lawyers and, you know, big business and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't stop there. And when you are trained from a small age, you don't lose, you don't take no for an answer, you know, and it's constantly about closing the deal, well, then that's all you know. And so that girl that says no is the girl that piques your interest, and you just keep going. And it, you know, on the more innocent end of the spectrum, is a guy that doesn't give up, and he keeps. You know, think about how many times you've heard in your life an old couple, you know, a couple that's been married 20, 30, 50 years. When you ask them about their origin story, they're telling you about how he wore me down. He wore me down.
I'm sorry. In what you were getting ready to say, all these things that you're saying. This is, I think, where it comes to the circumstance where we can train people how to treat us.
Yeah, I like what you guys are saying. This is a culture. This is I don't think this is just Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and Russell Simmons, and then we're done with this conversation.
Oh, hell no. This is a culture. I've seen, pick an industry of work, and I've worked in a ton of them. And you see the hierarchy. There's one industry I'll leave unnamed in particular, but you see the entire office cubicles are all female, every corner executive office, all male. You see the interaction sometimes, and you can't help but see, okay, I see what's happening. And sometimes it's just hanging out, and that is a culture that gets moved forward. And especially I made in the post when it becomes linked to power, career, or advancement. That's where almost an extortion of the woman is taking place. Hey, Chris, we're going to wrap this up. We've got a few more calls coming in, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, it was good talking to you, man. Have a great night.
Yeah, man. And by the way, I love what your show's doing, by the way. Go ahead and plug that thing, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. I started a new show just a couple of weeks ago. It streams live on Facebook every morning from 7 to 9. It's called The Wake.Show. If you track it down on the internet, it is The Wake.Show. Not TheWake.Show.com, just The Wake.Show. We don't have a lot of the website right now. Mainly everything's through Facebook / The Wake.Show.
Yeah, and I love the production on the show, man. I'm sure you've been on this topic a time or two on that show, man. I'm watching in the morning, too. You will be now, man.
We'll have to have you on there soon.
Well, anytime, man, you let me know.
I'll talk to you.
All right, brother. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, love you. Have a good night.
Love you too, man. You too.
Bye.
Chris, in all his fashion, ran through many points there. You know, the culture that's pushed in, you know, the dominant idea, the measurement culture even of what makes a man, as he opened, as a huge influence. And we can talk about the how we look, we talk about in mental health and addiction, all this stuff is about the environment that's surrounding epigenetic influence. So if the environment, now this is in no way am I making excuses for the actions taken. That's not what I'm doing. But as a observer, it would mean kind of go, okay, what instills this? What makes a person think that this is okay? You know what I mean? What is that? Because that's from my standpoint, that's what people want to ask is what makes a man do this?
Well, when he doesn't get fucking punched or punished right away. That's what I mean by, I mean, in the circumstances that I'm referencing, because I know that there's a lot of other circumstances where I would say it doesn't even need to be addressed with that person once they do something to you. But if it's a manner of like the way a person is working with you every day, the way they talk to you, treat you, whatever, mm-hmm. you're the person that's in charge of telling them what's okay and what's not okay. It's just like, when you pull somebody's hair, when you were young, you wanted to hear that little kid or little whatever scream, right? When you were a little punk kid, like 5 years old.
Yeah.
People like that do that for that reaction. And if you give them the reaction they're looking for, then they're going to keep going.
Like a wolf, right? Yeah. Once they smell, they can get there, you know. And now what you're saying can come across as harsh, right? Is that you have to tell, especially when your job's on the line, when it's your health insurance benefits that are for your kids. When these things happen, this becomes an issue. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And you get nervous, right? You're not sure what to say. That's that power and dominance thing I think Chris spoke about. And sometimes it's easy, right? We can sit back and say, just say something and do something, yeah. right? But
I think that's probably the major thing that's so positive about this, what's happening, is that it's going to provide confidence for people that have gone through it. It just opens the door, I think, in almost every industry. Like you were saying, they're walking kind of on their eggshells if they were that type of person, or even being more selective on how they talk in the office, because like dirty jokes.
This shit needed to happen.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, oh, you know, saying something that's like Chris was saying. All these guys were talking to him about their sex life. Did Chris feel sexually harassed? No, I know it's not with him or about him or, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's still the same subject that can be easy to get fired for if you're talking like that in the workplace.
Yeah. And a lot of workplaces I was in, I heard, you just hear it. You see it. You see work relationships. Hell, I saw patient therapist relationships, you know?
Yeah.
So you see these things develop, and it needed to be ripped off. Like somebody needed to say something. And a big thing for me is if everybody knew about Harvey, if everybody knew about Bill Cosby, what the fuck? No one said a fucking thing. You know, that gets me sometimes, right? And then, of course, let's play devil's advocate as we bring Brett Richards, ESPN host of Fit Project Radio. I'm going to bring him in. But as everybody would say is, I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. Like, I'm like two minds that split apart. But Brett, welcome to He Said, She Said, man. Thanks for calling.
Yo, my man, Adam Lowry. What's going down, brother?
Oh, just sitting here live talking about some serious issues of a subculture that we all thought really needed to be uncovered and that we see and see being revealed, man. And I've been walking down a few topics with the last caller, Chris and Patricia here. But what say you, Brett Richard?
Patricia, how are you, my dear? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing you again at your upcoming events.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, from the message, well, What's the what are we doing? Topic of conversation? We're doing a little gender inequality. Where are we going?
Well, we've been discussing, well, the sexual harassment, all the different scandals from Harvey, but to the subculture, we've really kind of opened with asking the question, not, we know what they're doing is wrong, the behavior, the choice, et cetera, but we've all walked in kind of saying, you know, what makes a man think that this is okay? What's the environment, the subculture, the childhood, what's the influence that, that makes it okay in this person's head to wear down a woman, as Chris Fisher put it, you know, over time, and make them that uncomfortable?
Okay, so there's a couple of things that, that have come up recently. Obviously, many of us have heard about the recent news anchor, Matt Lauer, that has been fired for sexual misconduct. And the primary reason is because there are morality clauses. When you do, when you are a part of organizations like ESPN, YMCA Radio, when you do go out there into the mainstream, you have these things called morality clauses where you actually, you don't just represent yourself anymore. You know, you represent a larger entity. So even if there's just the smallest little whiff of any issue, especially when it comes to any discrimination of any kind, you know, you get terminated. I mean, there's really not a whole lot you can do about it. But, you know, the thing that I find interesting is I think we got to go, like, when we look at human beings and, like, the nature of what human beings are between men and women, men are hunters, you know, we by nature, we are very aggressive creatures, you know, and I'm just speaking from my own perspective, of course, my own opinion. But, you know, I mean, we are hunters. We go after it. We get it, you know, and if we essentially fail at retrieving whatever we're quote unquote, I'm using quotation fingers, everyone can see everything that we're hunting, then essentially we've failed, as a man. So I think with women then, and Patricia, please correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
But when it comes to women, women are such nurturing creatures as human beings. You guys are incredibly caring, once again, by nature. And I think it's interesting that a lot of women, you all are so good at fixing things, especially on the emotional side. So when you have a man that is hunting, quote unquote, hunting, going after it, going after his what his goal is, which is a woman, continuously over and over and over again. As women, that almost that nurturing, fixing quality comes into play, where then all of a sudden they're just like, okay, well, I'll tell you what, maybe he'll go away if I submit. You know, he gets what he wants.
Well,
you
know,
one way or another. It doesn't always have to be.
Brett, despite the gentrification that you were laying out there, you have a point that Chris even brought up, is because the one here with we were just talking about the hip hop mogul.
Simmons.
Yeah, Russell Simmons, right, that he basically wore her down, and what she chose, and basically the way Chris said that she said it, was she just went down on him just to make him stop and go away.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah.
But see, that's... all right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
No, what I'm saying is you know, kind of case in point here is now women are wanting to fix the situation, no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable it may be. So then, what they do is they will, you know, I don't know if it is submission. I don't know if that's the right word, but they essentially allow the date to happen, allow the courting to happen, allow the whatever it is to happen, because essentially it's kind of allowing the man to get what he wants, go away. But in many ways, the woman also kind of takes a little bit of control because she's allowing the man to do what he wants. It's on her terms, so in essence. Does that make sense?
I think what you're pointing out, Patricia and I'll quit after this, but you're pointing out the idea of actual courting. There's a line to be looked at, right? When pursuing an opposite sex or even the same sex of somebody you are attracted to, there is a courting there, right? And there's this cultural line, really, a lot of times enforced by the parents, community, and the experience of the person. So what I think you're pointing out, Brett, and some very detailed idea is the idea of the courting process. What's the line? If we bring in what we talked about previous, the culture that we come up in as young men, you know, kind of grading ourselves on how many women and whether we achieve that in the hunting sense that you spoke about, and that culture that influences, you know, the person to make these choices almost.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in all sincerity, when it comes to this whole idea of why men do it, I mean, geez, I mean, gosh, I mean, so we're in the year of 2017. 60 years ago, it was absolutely fine. It was absolutely, in essence, approved for a woman to be completely submissive, and in many cases, degraded in public because she was the, again, quotation fingers, weaker sex. So, and again, you know, that whole term of weaker sex, you know, I've always hated that term. And Adam, you and I share a very common bond, you know, as well as being fathers of daughters, young women. And the only time it's claimed as a weaker sex is because men are just physically stronger in many aspects.
Yeah, there's certain biological.
Yeah, but okay. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and address all the things that you just said. Okay, so you were saying things like nurturing and stuff like that, and I think sometimes, I mean, I completely disagree with that. To be honest, I mean, I know women in general, but there's plenty of men nowadays that are far more nurturing than a female. I mean, it goes so much more even now, I think, as opposed to what you were talking about. I think that might be confused with intimidation, as far as that goes, you know, or being passive, not necessarily fixing things. Because what is fixing anything? Maybe the problem as far as like having him go away. But I don't think that's her nurturing aspect at all. I think that is more of the intimidation. And maybe perhaps that would be where your hunting thing came in, where she's more of a prey. When it comes to that particular situation, I mean,
you know, and again, you're speaking from the woman's standpoint, which I, as a red blooded, big bearded American man, I have absolutely no idea. That's honestly my perception. And again, yeah, if I'm wrong on that, then
I don't think you're wrong with what you're saying. What happens?
Well, one feeling that I've mentioned it before on a podcast, actually, is one feeling I'll never experience. And it's going to make me sound like a feminist type shit. I'm not trying to say that because I too am a kind of masculine separation believer, but both sides can be exact. You know, I'm kind of old school that way too, but, man, I keep losing my points for people calling in.
I know.
What was I going?
Well, I was just talking about how I think it's more intimidation.
Oh, yeah, that feel. Thank you, Brett. Is that experience of truly when if I'm a female and I walk into a room like Brett mentioned, is strong, bigger, stronger, that opposite gender could kill me. Right. That in the right space, time, moment, person that literally really could just kill me. And there's nothing I can do about it. And for the most part, unless you go to prison and you're in certain places, it's a very rare time where a male feels that exact feeling that I could be annihilated should that opposite, you know, sex choose to do so.
I see what Brett was saying as far as the men are the aggressors by nature and obviously also
or by culture.
Right. And you know, one thing that is probably hard for men or people in general to figure out is so often women might talk about how they want that aggressive man, the one that takes charge,
that's what Brett was talking about.
Yeah, too, yeah. And so it's a double-edged sword because, you know, you could say, well, I thought you wanted that. But I think maybe just everybody just needs to use a little bit more respect and common sense and there won't be so much confusion. The common sense of I'm at work. No, I don't want you to slap my ass in front of all these people that don't know our history, or you know what I mean? Like,
well, Brett brought up a huge point when he mentioned our daughters, because the way I look at it is treat the women around you that like it's your daughter. Do that. If you take that approach, unless you're a sick fuck, you know what I mean? You can't fuck up. Right. Yeah. You're and maybe not so much like the way you treat your daughter. You may hug your daughter even or something like that. So maybe it's even a bad correlation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like right. the respectful wise. Right. The way you'd want a man to treat your daughter. Maybe right. something yeah. like that is a better approach exactly. to it. But hey Brett, walk it out here, man. I'm getting a couple more calls, man. But walk a point home for me.
OK. OK. So here we go. We're bringing we'll break it down. OK, because. As you guys know, I can talk forever, especially when I'm with my man Adam Lowry. But here it is. In regards to the essence of you know of women, you know, as a man, I think again, women should be celebrated. I think that I was very blessed in my life to have a beautiful daughter in my life, and the way I always operate is I'm setting the bar. So men. Any of you gentlemen that are listening right now, in regards to women, whether you have the blessing of a daughter or even look at your own mother, because we all have one of those, you know, in essence, how would you want them to be treated? Just like Adam said, right now, gentlemen, I am setting the bar for the man that's going to be in my daughter's life. I am showing her how she needs to be treated, how she needs to be respected, and how she needs to be viewed. So that when she goes out into the world, she already has that sense of sensibility. So, and again, same thing with our mothers. You know, we love them, we cherish them, we honor them. So again, when you see that in the world, that is either A, somebody's daughter, or one day somebody's mother. So treat them accordingly.
Yeah, Brett, I appreciate you calling in, man. And everybody tune in. It's 8 a.m., right, on ESPN Fit Project Radio.
Yeah, 8 a.m. on Fit Project Radio, or if you want to download the Y Radio app, I've now gone nationwide, 48 markets across the United States, 8 markets in Europe, Y Radio, and that's at 12 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
Awesome. Beautiful, man. I appreciate you calling in, man. We'll chat soon.
Patricia, nothing but love. Adam, love you like a brother.
Love you too, man.
See ya.
He brings up a ton of points. I love Brett doesn't hold back, man. He just kind of he puts it out there exactly how he sees it. And there's points, and that's the filter of of a lot of people, the way they see it. I think that a daughter for Brett is the best thing that could happen to him.
Yeah, you know, I've observed myself, like the things that he posts and stuff like that, and the things that you tell me about his daughter and how he takes care of her. And
oh, hell yeah,
I respect that. I think that's an awesome point that I haven't actually even heard, which was. You know, earlier I was saying you train people how to treat you, and then, but why not train people how to treat your daughter while she's young and train her how to be treated? That's the perfect thing, because then it will be a shock to her when she's disrespected, you know? But if you are raising your daughter to think that that's okay, then when somebody else does it, especially someone that's paying her.
Well, and look, my daughter was over here hanging out the other night and was playing some music, and I'm listening. And she's going like, can you believe this is number one, Dad? Like, listen to this. Mm-hmm. And even the cultural influence has not changed about open sexual, any of that stuff. I mean, my daughter looks at me and goes, look, nobody even dates anymore, Dad. They're just, everyone knows they're going to get cheated on or something. So it's just open. It's just the way it is in colleges. That's the way she sees it in her perception. You see that change, man, but that culture that has existed for so and still existed by all means, there's so much more to be uncovered.
You know, one thing that I'm just going to kind of bounce out there, just different direction in case somebody calls. This is my stance on it. I think that everybody deserves a chance on both ends. And I don't think it should be made public until they're, is enough evidence to say it's justified for an investigation.
Yeah, I remembered my point. The one that slipped. Well, everyone, I'm playing the other devil's advocate.
Tell them it's
on. Why did they wait so long? It's already open. It's taken care of. Why did they wait so long, right? This is what you hear. I'm just giving that other side. Why did they wait 10 years, 20 years? Why did they wait so long?
I know. Well...
That's just what he said. Not this guy, right. But it's what you hear.
Let me give you a couple of things that maybe I could pull out of the air. Because they got a job. Because it wasn't so bad. This is their mentality. You know, like, oh, it didn't hurt anybody. It'd be more embarrassing to tell someone that that happened. And then they look up the history and I did get that gig. You know, there's plenty of reasons why they might tell themselves that it's okay not to talk about it. Mm. But I do think that if it's not involving children, that there should be a time frame when you should yourself need to address that, you know, to have it be able to be properly investigated.
I'm going to go personal. Have you experienced something in all your years of entrepreneurship working in various fields? I mean, you saw it present, I got to assume, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you an example. I was a cocktail server for a company, a larger company for venues for concerts. And more often than not, to be honest, I'd be in the super suites where it's supposed to be, you know, the people that are there and they're going to be respectful to you because they've paid this extra money to be in this nicer area, whatever. But there'd be times where I remember one specifically, I was working at a Lil Wayne concert. And one of the guys in the booths came up to me behind me with a bunch of guys. And he's, you know, like trying to dry hump on me. And I turned around and I said, back the fuck up, dude. And I waved my flashlight. And that's like a warning for him and also for the guys to come get him. And he thought it would be funny. And all the guys were laughing and even the girls were laughing. And I said, I'm not fucking with you, dude. I promise you, do it one more time and you were going to regret it. But I was training him and along with all the other people, what's okay. Yeah. And he thought it would be cool to one more time as I'm walking out of the booth. And all I did was go like this with my flashlight. And fortunately, that company does have it to where if I feel uncomfortable, whatever, they can take care of it. And he was taken out. But what if I didn't have that? That would be the joke of the evening. And every time I walked in there, I would feel harassed and going, probably not making any money. And then it would spread over to my mood to the next group. But that would happen every night in a different group, sometimes even from women.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, just talking about the environment, right? And I keep playing devil's advocate here, right? Because someone out there is going to think, well, what'd you expect? You're at a Lil Wayne concert as a cocktail waitress, right? This becomes the response, right? For that hardcore, I don't want to accuse everybody on the right of saying that, right? But this is kind of that hardcore conservative approach, right?
I can.
And, but for me, watching that, I mean, I used to work nightclubs and things. If that ever happened, that gentleman would have seen the back dumpster somehow. Right. And security and the people around would have secured that. You know, it's for me, when I was in the bar scene, my secret, if people ever asked me, was make sure the women feel safe. If you do that, you can have a good atmosphere. Make sure they feel safe. It's a clean place to come to, right?
Sure.
And that was what we focused on. So, you know, despite the environment, that if any other man stood around and laughed at that, and when you mentioned the girls laughing at the same time, I'm kind of like, fucking bitch. What if that was you? You know what I mean?
Well, see, that's just it, though. That's where I looked at all of them. Like, I'm here for the night. I don't give a crap if you guys here are gone, you know? And I was very aggressive with my response right away so that everybody would observe that, try it with me, and there's going to be a problem.
And that's what you meant in the beginning about teaching people how to treat you.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we have Alvin calling in, a good friend, someone I've known for a while. But I appreciate you calling into the show, man. What's going on with you, Alvin?
Hey, thank you, brother. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Walking around a few different topics, the ins and outs of sexual harassment in the workplace and the culture behind it, what we experienced, some of Patricia's experiences and what I've seen. What are your thoughts on what's happening with the sexual harassment scandals or the subculture being revealed?
As far as the workplace is concerned, I work an office job and I work with majority women. So I'm exposed to it more often than I would like. Not to say that it's me on the end of the spectrum getting harassed. I mean, but it does happen. I feel like males don't speak out on it.
Yeah. It's the same thing with domestic violence, Alvin. It's the same thing with domestic violence, brother. People imagine it in their mind as being the reverse. And if it's the other way, they laugh at you. And myself have been in relationships where I was the one that was struck suddenly or left fielder for no reason. And you're right. Just like in domestic violence, it's so not reported on the other end. So it's a huge point, Alvin. Is that what you said you experienced?
Harassment at the workplace.
Yes, in a sense. Not even in a sense. I mean, I have to be honest. I have. And, you know, when you're on that side, is honestly uncomfortable, you know, because the woman, for whatever reason, feels it's okay. I don't know if...
How did you react?
That's how she... I'm sorry, Patricia, you said something?
Yes, I'm sorry. How did you react?
Honestly, I was at a loss for words. I was at a loss for words just for the sole fact that it wasn't something, not even verbally, it was something that was shown that kind of took me back to where I was like, yo, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm even kind of at a loss for words now because it brings me back because I haven't spoke on it since.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably got to really kind of make you go, why didn't I put a stop to it right away or say, bitch, get away from me? What did you say to her? Or
did you? Yeah, I was going to say, do you mind walking us through? I think that's what you're saying. What'd you say to her?
Yeah.
We're both kind of walk us through what happened, man.
So, long story short, I had just started the job and before she finds me attractive and for whatever reason, took it upon herself to send me pictures.
Oh,
and
shit.
I lie to you not. Just as far or as close as you are to Patricia across that table, I was to her, but there was cubicles separating us. And I...
All right, so that's... Go ahead.
So, you know, I get them. I open it. And it just so happens to fall around my birthday. So you can kind of know where that's going, if you will, what those pictures entail. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't know this individual for much, you know, for long at all. We had just started. And, you know, I really didn't say anything. I kind of left it there. I left it unaddressed. Yeah. I kind of brushed it under the rug and just felt like with time it would go away. Because like I said, I mean, what do you say? Thank you? Like,
well,
I didn't ask for this.
You said go away. So does that mean that she would do it continuously, like on the regular?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, does that mean that she would do it continuously, like on the regular when you, because it sounds like it was like on more than one occasion. So did she just continuously do that and you didn't know how to react and you never reacted?
No, it was more so just a one-time occasion. I guess from my vibes and I guess just moving forward, I didn't really give, you know, her the impression that, hey, this is something I'm looking for. It was more so that she kind of caught on and I guess, you know, sooner than later, we kind of had a conversation on it, but it was honestly uncomfortable. It was one of those things where it was just like, okay, not much had to be said, but it was understood that, look, this is not cool.
Not okay.
And, you know, I don't want this moving forward.
Now, did it cross your mind about reporting it, right? Did what walked through your mind about the thoughts of why not, why to report it, why you couldn't, or anything like that?
Honestly, it didn't even come to mind to report it because I had never been in a position like that before. So for me, I was just like, all right, you know, it is what it is kind of thing. It is what you make it, if you will. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to leave it here. I really didn't. In my head, I was like, I don't want her to, you know, lose her job or something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and look, I've been playing devil's advocate all night. So let me play devil's advocate, Alvin, if you don't mind, which is, here's the buddies next to you, right? Going, that's right, man. See those pictures. Like, look at that. And she even knows, right? Even if he's not in a relationship, right? Just the fact it's being sent, some would celebrate or show a friend, right? It'd be the brag rights of what's happening, right?
Yeah.
And in that approach. So even the response to that is based in some subculture that we've been brought up in that, like Chris spoke about, Brett spoke to. And Alvin's perspective is, I'm so glad you called, Alvin, because you don't hear about it, right? Is that female approach and the guy, I've even heard people joke that if a female teacher sleeps with a student, that the boy student, it should be like patted on the back, that it's more like, nobody really gives a shit. But if it's the reverse, everybody puts their hands up in the air. I'm putting out all these devil advocate arguments that you hear when something like this happens.
I've definitely noticed the confidence that you're talking about when it comes to sometimes where a male or female feel like they're the untouchable, where I'm hot. You probably do want a naked picture of me or whatever, right? So they assume that it's okay because they themselves think that, why wouldn't you want a picture of me naked? What I have a question for you is, like, were you in a relationship when that happened? Because if that happened to my boyfriend or my husband, I would be really upset.
To answer your question, yes, I was.
I mean, upset with the other female that thought it was okay, even if you know what I mean? That's...
Well, you brought the point up, though, is I think what has that culture done to the female, or even the male, that does think and goes, of course you'd want a picture of this because I am, like these guys in power, right? Because I am this person, of course you'd want to. Right. And like the girl may say, hey, everybody wants this, right? Yeah, she doesn't think about it.
That's her sense of power.
Right, her power. Oh, good point.
Which is one thing that I think that is kind of been being looked past, which is how many of the females put on that sexy lipstick, those heels, walk a certain way, a different thing, put off a different energy because they want that job or because they want this particular group of people to think that this or that, that that's okay. How do you read that?
Well, here the answer for that becomes that would be the perception of the male judging that as being sexy when it's someone just being who they want to be and it's not in the right mind to filter that.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is when you're putting those things, this is as if we know that the female is doing it for that reason. I'm not saying every female does it for that reason.
Well, I'm sure the ladies at the club or the business meeting specifically are not dressing the way they are. I mean, I'm sure it feels good, but there can be intent, sure.
Yeah.
To how we approach whatever it is we're going to.
What I was getting at with that is how the females, there's plenty of them that use their appearance for their power and their sexual energy to get that position. Is that harassment?
Yeah, I'm glad you said it. I can't say it, but you saying it, let's look, you could go back to epics, to things told, right? Of the big, strong man, right? The Hercules man, but then the siren who sings and is the beautiful, alluring, but is deadly, right? The Samson and Delilah even, right? We can go all the way to where this story has been told, right? That it's used in that fashion because it is a weakness to that.
And that's why I say, be careful how you use your power.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't imply at all that someone is asking for it, male or female.
Yeah, no.
But you have to be careful because some people can misread your, and then when it does happen.
Let's just say some people are sick. Some people do.
They're assholes. I mean, yeah. It's been plenty of times when, even during a closing where I've just felt like uncomfortable because there was too much of that flirty joking and stuff. And
the I fucking shit.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. It's I fucking. There's a difference between looking at somebody, right? And they look at you with this. I mean, see, that's, well, I guess I have been looked at that way a time or two, but I still won't have that feeling of what it's like in a female in a trapped room with a male who is my boss or I'm a subservient to of some kind that looks at me that way as if I'm like the cartoon that turned into the fucking ham or some shit. You know what I mean?
I've had that feeling before where I mean, a couple times I've had the feeling where I just was in an atmosphere, a work atmosphere, and I really felt like, oh gosh, don't leave me in this room alone with this person, you know.
See, that's a hard feeling for them to understand.
It really was scary.
But Alvin got to kind of understand what that was like, is having that opposite flipped of going, fuck, I'm speaking for you, Alvin, but that's kind of what your call is bringing up, that you too experienced. Why not even thinking about reporting it, right? It's almost answering.
And he was probably thinking it's embarrassing for her. He doesn't like her, so he doesn't give a crap. He can just easily delete and not have issues at work. And so it's just easier sometimes because you can, like he did, which was eventually trainer saying, you know, or implying, that's not cool.
Well, you teach people how to treat you. Yeah. And he kind of said, hey, you know, this kind of stops. So you put your foot down there.
Yeah. And it's probably, he's probably missing out on he wanted to say, fuck you for putting me in that position.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a shitty position to be put in.
What'd you want to respond to immediately where you kind of got stuck? You know how we always have hindsight, Alvin, where we're like, you know what? If I could go back, I would have said this. Since you talked about how your response was like, fuck, I don't even know what to do. In hindsight, what would be the response?
Me being older in a sense and going up to her and just telling her like my situation, just telling her, look, I'm in a relationship, you know, just keep it cordial. Like, let's just put this behind us and move forward. Mm-hmm. But then I, like you said, you play devil's advocate and now that I have a daughter, I'm like, what if I were, if she were in my shoes, let's reverse the roles, right? And somebody sent, you know, her a pic of, you know what? And, you know, honestly, the way she's, I'm not saying that, you know, because she's still, she's a baby, for God's sakes. But the way that I was raised, I was exposed to a lot more than, you know, your average kid in that sense. So I took to it fairly well, in my opinion. But for a woman, that could have easily induced some sort of trauma to where if she's never seen or been exposed to something like that, you know, that could have carried on much longer. And potentially, if she didn't say anything, you know, what could have, you know, potentially happened later on?
Yeah.
Those are the things that I think about.
I appreciate you calling in, Alvin, man. We'll probably
hear that.
Yeah, we'll probably continue talking about some of your topic as we have everybody else to call in, man. I appreciate you sharing your experience.
Of course, brother. It was a pleasure speaking to both of you.
Thank you.
Love you too, man. Thanks for calling. Yeah, he brings up a huge point. I'm glad that we got that opposite view, you know.
Yeah.
And some of these situations are different in their little details of how they transpire. But what I'm seeing is a commonality here of a person in power taking advantage of that to an extortion level, and not like an immediate, hey, you're here, the way you get the job is this. I mean, now Harvey fucking took it that far, right? But you see this, you see this wearing down. He called in, I hit no. Sorry about that, Mr. Sean. Give a ring back, man. But Harvey, who just basically, I mean, hell, they knew what a lot of people didn't know about Harvey's situation is in his fucking contract. They knew, Miramax knew, they put in there for every single charge or sexual harassment thing we go through, it's $150,000, $250,000, up to $1 million. They fucking knew he was like that.
Right.
And for him, then, who just kind of seems like he just fucking put it out there. But you see this wearing down. You see this, but you do. We're laughing. Grace is in the back wearing down, eating something. But
she's eating her peanut butter bottle.
Yeah, but you see this wearing down that they spoke of. It's this slow kind of little uncomfortable now. How far can he go, right? As if they stretch it. How far can you go? How far in this push,
yeah,
right?
Before they have to actually put the fire out. Oh, that's okay. Let's sweep that one under the rug. Finally, the freaking shit pile under the rug is coming out, and that's making everybody clean up their act.
Yeah, and look, I've been put in awkward situations before, in a few situations, and
well, even like that lady that said that to you when we were talking at that event, she came right up to you and was a bit aggressive with her words talking about sex, and I looked at her like, what the heck?
Oh, just kind of voicing with, she showed what, the video of her daughter doing something.
Yeah, she was
running a
naked marathon thing, like asking for us to sponsor her.
Yeah, kind of the upfront. But I've been there, and I can tell you one of my responses is once that's engaged toward me from a woman, the first thing that I get scared about to where I'm going, fuck. Now, if I don't respond properly to this, I could be dealing with someone that could say anything. Yeah. This is someone that I don't know, I don't met, maybe an Alvin situation, right? Sent the naked picture. I've been in certain situations, I've been aggressed before, and you kind of go, if I don't respond how this person wants me to, or nice enough, or if I fucking do something, this person could easily go, he did this.
Or you pretty much implied that you wanted me to send that to you and I would get this gig. That was a joke.
I'm sorry. I was really, I've got shot on the line. I missed it. My fault. My head. But my point is the idea of going nervous that you go, if I don't respond properly, this woman then could say, turn from here and turn and say, well, he did this. He said that, right? That they feel dejected. You know, and if it's typically a woman that's not dejected or not used to that, and you become angry. Yeah, and you reject them. I've had responses where it's like, you motherfuck you. I'm like, what the? So when you have had those responses, the first thing I've thought when I've been in those situations is, oh shit, like Alvin, where you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. It's like a girl fight, right? If a girl's trying to fight you, you're fucked. You either let her beat your ass or you look like a bully, right?
Yeah.
So it's that awkwardness that I remember feeling going, fuck. Yeah. I can't, you know, do I say something? And then you know, if I implied it, right? It's such a touchy fucking place, man.
And it is, too, on the opposite side where you go, what if that person wants to send that nudie and they go, did I misread it before I send nudie? It? Yeah.
Nudie.
A nudie?
I'm sorry, but I'm laughing at that. That's hilarious to me.
Dick pic? What?
I don't know. I don't
send dick pics, so I call them nudies.
That's hilarious. I just haven't heard that. I don't know. It's funny to me.
Okay.
Go on.
You probably just aged me as all is what you were going to say, right?
Or me. I don't know. I don't know. But my good friend, my brother basically, is on the line, newly married himself.
Yes, it was a beautiful wedding.
Beautiful wedding, by the way. Married to now Ashley Zernis is on the line. Sean, I appreciate you calling in, brother. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's obviously a really important show today because of everything that's been going on in the nation about all the sexual harassment and the problem with Hollywood. And I guess it's, status quo. As far as what we all see and we all, go through is, a powerful man, and when they see a beautiful woman and a woman has to attain a certain status, she feels like she needs to do certain things or favors to get where she needs to be at, when we all know that's probably not the best thing, and it's wrong in general. But
well, you point out a culture. Look, if I were to pull you aside, Sean or Patricia, anybody listening, let's say 10 years before any of this sexual stuff came out, and I said, hey, did you know that in Hollywood, these powerful producers seduce and objectify women through sexual extortion to give them parts for movies? Would you be surprised?
From the culture that I've grown up seeing through television and just in general, I wouldn't be surprised, because it's easy for a man in power, which is, it's sad to see, but a man in power be able to objectify a woman and get what he wants and knows that he has the ability to manipulate the situation to his benefit, because he's using her as a chess piece to get what he wants in order for her to get what she wants.
Yeah, Patricia.
Yeah, that it's, I mean, it's happens every day. I mean, I see that all the time. Like you said, the chess piece, it's like you go like this. And this is actually a story that I've heard from one of my girlfriends, where it was, she was on the other end and she said she really needed that job and he was a decent guy. She just was like, I was going to date him anyway. So she went with it. Then, halfway through it, she decides it was a mistake. And then you go, what actually happened then?
Yeah.
It was a choice of hers.
Yeah. It's a dangerous culture. It's a abusive culture, really, to a way. And the problem that I have with the culture too, other than most of it, is the idea that it forces almost a woman to kind of go, well, that's the way it is, right? To kind of just, I did my early kind of mid drug dealing days. I worked in a strip club. And watching the interview process with those that ran the club and owned it, right, is a choice thing to watch. And when you see that, and that's objectifying from the beginning, right? And so watching on both spectrums, it's this a huge dark part of it is that a woman does eventually feel like, fuck, it's the culture. It's what I gotta do, or it's what she did, or it is what it is, right?
I don't know. You kind of know where they were going, right?
To elaborate on that, I mean, think about it. When you have a woman that's in power, you normally don't think a woman could be possibly like that. But what's that movie that was that good movie back in the day? Granted, it's a movie, but think about that Boomerang. With Eddie Murphy, when he had that powerful woman as his boss and she wanted to use him to get what she wanted sexually. It's very easy for someone that has a lot of power and you have a lot of yes men or yes women, to be equal on both sides, just telling you yes to everything. You can't do anything wrong. And then when you see something come by that you physically have not had and it's that game of the lion chasing the prey, and it's almost an enticement. I want that. I want to do what I can to get that. Even if I've got to slightly break the rules, and you get them in that room when it's just you and her, or her and you, and you're able to manipulate or connive, being on whatever side of the sexual spectrum you want to be on, and you get what you want. And then, you know, 10 years down the road, they come out with it. And it's shocking. And then it's a culture shock instead of them just coming out and becoming a pariah because they say something about it. But to kind of add into it and just to kind of be the devil's advocate, like you were talking about earlier, how many of them, you know, you've got these people that come out with this stuff. Now, I'm not saying discrediting any of these women and not saying that any of these men couldn't have done it or could have done it, but how many of them are just coming out with the bullshit? I just read an article the other day about Roy, the senator or the judge that's trying to become a senator, and, you know, where they had Project Veritas, where they were trying to send in this woman to the Washington Post to discredit the liberal left and the publication, the Washington Post, about, you know, hey, let's discredit them, because if we discredit them, then all of them are capable of doing this, and that's why they discredit. It comes out as a wash, and you don't know what to believe. Hell, look at Bill Cosby. I mean, hell, the man was unstoppable in comedy and was the godfather of comedy. And when all the shit came out with him, he had enough money to kind of wash it away because it was so long ago. And you have enough people to discredit something, it just becomes spin. You don't know what to believe.
Yeah, and that's the mixture I think a lot of these predators hide behind, is the idea of, well, nobody's going to believe you, right? I'm a powerful person. You can't say anything anyway. A lot of molestation happens that way, especially.
That's why I was saying the intimidation might be confused with the nurturing. They're intimidated.
Yeah, man. Sean, anything you want to keep adding on this, brother?
I mean, there's a lot to say. I mean, you know, it comes down to the fundamentals of what a man and a woman say and do with each other. What becomes the cross? What becomes the beginning, or I should say, the start of a sexual harassment? And what becomes what is the finish line to it all? I mean, the conversation. I guess Geraldo said something about it today. Yesterday, I should say, and on Twitter about the Bette Midler thing. There's a fine line between courting and flirting than sexual harassment. If there's no touching, there's no feeling, there's nothing that has been, no favors been passed through in order to gain some type of progression up the corporate ladder or anything really. But I mean, think about it. Today we say all this crazy shit, and we got all this twerking going on, and all these pictures being, you know, posted, and these memes and stuff. I mean, anything can be perceived as a harassment, but it's just, you know, it all comes across as if it's coming across comedic, or if it's genuinely I want to fondle you. It's hard to read in between the lines, and I'm not discrediting any of the situations. It's just, you gotta look on both ends of it and see what's credibly a sexual harassment and what's just me flirting with you and you being receptive until you're tired of it.
I think that's where the common sense thing comes in mind, you know, like, what if it's just even the way someone says, hey, and looks you up and down, what are you going to go report that? How do you, you know what I mean? What do you do?
Yeah.
And every day you get to feel that same feeling walking in with someone that stands too close to you, or they look at you like, oh, you know, you like this. You know, when you're like, what can you really do in that situation other than saying, can I be moved to a different department? Can I move in a different area and treat them like they're the freaking plague? But what if that person that you have to treat like a plague is the one that is your biggest vendor, the one that gives you all the money?
Yeah, that's what you see, right? That's why it almost seems like this methodical predator approach is all I can keep picturing is what I've heard with clients and stuff about sexual molestation is this. There's this methodical, slow ease into it. It's like you said, it's this first, it's the look up and down, you know, and then is the girl receptive? Did she bat her eyes and go, okay, that's cute. Please don't fucking do that again. She thinks in her head, right? But the guy takes it in, is like, okay, she was receptive. And then he goes a little bit, but right, do you report, oh, he looked me up and down, right? There's such that fucking, you know, but you're still living in that. You're still, but you still go to work in that and live in that day in and day out.
Well, it's just like that, like he was saying the other show that, but there's that, that movie, The Bosses, remember, with Jennifer Aniston, where she's basically taking pictures of him while she's on the dentist thing. And, you know, it's a beautiful woman that's very aggressive. You know, that happens on both ways. Maybe not as aggressive as that one was. But, I mean, you can see where how easily it can happen in all directions.
Yeah, I've seen it in all directions, been affected by it in both directions. But for the most part, it is in my world been predominantly what I've seen male.
For sure.
From what I've seen. Yeah. It just has. I can't honestly think of a place I worked ever where there wasn't a board meeting where I found out that this CEO or this director was sleeping with this new hire that was, you know, it just seemed like it's what they did, whether it's teachers being, you know, with each other. It's just almost like we talked about, right? We walked into it at relationships at work. They fucking happen because that's where you spend so much time.
Yeah.
And then Sean mentioned here about that line of the flirting, the courting, the difference, the exception, right? I mean, technically the rule really is absolutely nothing like that at all at work whatsoever, especially with a subordinate in a power, in a place of power.
Conversation wise, joke wise, all that. You can't do it.
Yeah. Sean, brother.
Yeah, you got to draw a line between professional and pleasure. I mean, even if it's something that you guys work together and I mean, if you really think about it, that's where most affairs happen is in the workplace because they're around each other more than they are with the loved ones.
100%.
I mean, they're interacting, they're close, they're personal, they're looking, peering over each other's shoulders to help each other with deadlines and whatever it is. And then the late night Chinese food, depending on the case, and then it just crosses over. And then it's like, oops, I touched her and I read the signals wrong. I'm sorry. And then it just doesn't end that. It's like, oh no, oh no. And then, but then and on the other side, it's like, well, maybe you should have read it more. It's tough, man. I mean, you have to take each situation with a grain of salt, and you have to really be able to decipher the fog. And it's tough, man. I mean, short of them slapping you on the ass or pinching your ass cheek and saying, whispering in the ear, hey, sweetheart, come in the room and you get your raise this Christmas. If you don't, you're fired. I mean, short of that, you got to read in between. And then, you know, they talk about it and they become a pariah or whistleblower. And it's just, I don't know, man, it's tough. And then hearing about it, you don't know what the hell to believe. Not saying you don't believe it. It's just, you kind of go.
It
really is. Especially with the culture we have these days where you have women wearing, you know, one article of clothing that's split into three pieces of their body. And then they walk around in that shit. And then you say, hey, Toots, you know, you got a nice set of tits on her. Then she'll say something. If you're not, and then you want to buy her a drink and she cusses you out. It's just, it's weird, man. I mean, yeah. I'm not trying to make it sound all weird. It's just.
No, you're talking about the facts, brother.
The stuff that actually happens.
Yeah, that's the shit that happens.
I've seen, man. I really have seen it. I mean, I'm in the hospitality industry. I see it all the time. I see these greasy old men come in there and tip these bartenders. And they'll come whispering, this old motherfucker right here, this and the other, talking all this shit to me. Hell, I fucking was one of the head cooks at Hooters a long time ago, and those girls used to get sexually harassed left and right, in my opinion. Shit, if I was their boyfriend, I'd be wanting to shoot a motherfucker, but they're walking out the door with $1,000 a night, and I'm like, fuck, babe, you got what I make in a fucking week. You made in one night, but you're not turning it down. Shit. Unless it benefits you and you can sue them and get a beamer out of it. You know, it's just like, if you're going to blow the whistle, blow it now. If not, you know, you can't throw a penalty flag when the game's over.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, Sean. I appreciate you dropping some knowledge, man. We'll probably end up referencing this throughout the show, man. I appreciate you calling in.
Appreciate you letting me be on the show, and you guys continue on with the tribal change, and I really appreciate everything. Y'all have a good night, and God bless. And
yeah, brother, I got your I got your wedding gift here. It's in the closet, cleaned up, waiting for you, man. So I look forward to having you and Ashley here for the big New Year's party, man.
Well, we look forward to being there, and like I said, don't worry about your love, and you guys being there was enough. Appreciate it. Talk to y'all later.
All right, buddy.
Bye, brother. Love you.
Love you too. Yeah, the fog is a serious issue, right? We can all sit here and on a high horse go, you know the line, right? You fucking know. We can say, you just know. But a lot of fucking, you don't know, right? And let's be honest. At work, we already said it. The line is fucking nothing. Mm. You're not supposed to do anything.
Yeah.
But you spend so much time there, like Sean was saying, it's the guy or girl that you're bitching about your relationship to.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it evolve that way and you see them break off that way. And it's really sad in that direction. But to the main point of the sexual harassment that goes down, I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm saying all this stuff too, but the shameful fucking part that I really, I don't know, I really look at, other than the behavior of the monsters themselves, other than that, is those that know that didn't do a fucking thing. You know, those that watch and don't respond. I've said it before on a show. I'm that guy. If I'm in line and you fuck with an old lady, you're going to fuck with me. That's the next part. You know, so, but that for me is the part I can't stand, is these fucking guys that are in a position of actual power, career, money, physicality, all of these things, and do take that approach in doing so. But I am not naive to say that I've not seen the female work the same weapon even fucking better, you know, and purposely use that weapon to that extent, right?
Sure.
And I'm just going to say it now, and I'll let you take this one, is I'm just saying what some people are thinking. I do also want to see the list of everyone that also said yes. Those that said yes and knew what they were walking into, knew what the deal on the table was, took the deal with the offer, and the same list. I only want to see a conversation about that, because A, it's sad that the environment of some place that they was a passion, something they loved to do, something they worked in, involved almost a fucking entry level into this as being, I don't know, on the market in some way for these powerful, as Sean put it, greasy old men.
Yeah. I've actually experienced it plenty of times, other than the one that I was talking about, just in different smaller little things, you know, just comments that you do have to just brush off that aren't necessarily the kind that you would necessarily go and report, because there are things where you do have to take that opportunity right away just to say, not okay. Yeah. Because, you know, one thing that I was thinking about, all these females that are waiting 10, 12 years, I think about all the victims after they were victimized that they could have helped prevent. I know that obviously it's not easy to do something right away because you are a victim and it takes time to cope with it. But well,
can you walk me through a woman's thought of the non-reporting for 10, 20 years, et cetera? Walk me through a woman's perception of why she may not. Because my biggest question for the one is the lady with Al Franken is waiting 25 years for something. She did a USO tour with him, which is a short little stint in what came out. You know, if what she said is true in those allegations, then a lot of that part is certainly harassment to a point. If it's based on the picture, I got a problem with that. But if that was really some of secret story that he had going in his mind behind it, that's sick. You know, but yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. When they say things like it kept going on, and we're talking about adults, it's hard for me to not say, well, what the fuck? What were you waiting for?
Yeah. So what's a woman thinking? What, from your perspective?
Okay. So if it were me and I was in that same situation, from what I'm thinking, a typical woman would, probably, of course, fear of judgment, because then she's the one, then she's going to have to start questioning herself, saying, how do I act? Did I walk a certain way? Did I talk a certain way?
Good luck getting fucking hired again.
Yeah. And right. You kind of get that list of, don't even, she's trouble.
Even if.
Yeah.
Even
if. Maybe they don't want to relive it. Or maybe they're going to hear a lot of I told you so's.
Or the shit that I'm saying. Yeah. What really happened?
Or like this.
What were you wearing?
You got the job, remember? How much did it make you? Suck it up.
I've heard some women say that. I've heard some women around me go, that bitch made $10 million for that movie.
I've heard girls go, you've fucked uglier dudes for free, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're with these other people.
I've heard women be more responsive like that than men. You know, I think I've heard more men kind of go, yeah, that's what those old powerful gross fuckers do. And they're like, yeah, that's what they, you know, that's, it's gross as fuck. You know, but I've heard women more of that response. Like, yeah, that's what that bitch is doing. You know, or I would have too had I not, you know, did this or something, you know. Yeah. I've heard those. I'm just saying that shit.
Right? No, I agree. I think there's just so many different scenarios that it's hard to even summarize something because one situation is totally different from the other.
That's right.
But the time frame thing, I do think, should be addressed.
Yeah. But I guess the one point, I guess, we'll bring producer Steve Stone, now that he's not calling us just to tell us it's muted, into it. But I guess if I had to say the main point of not saying anything would be that fear of the blackball, that your career is over. If you're that person that even was remotely involved.
Or what if they're just embarrassed that it happened to them? Sometimes it's like, if I bring it up, I'm going to have to continuously relive it. So I'm just going to forget about it. I'm never going to see the asshole again. I'm over it. And they don't realize it until the 10 years later.
Fuck. Welcome to the show you produce, Steve Stone.
Hello, hello.
What's up, man?
Not much. Just been listening to the show and thought I'd call in and chime in a little bit. Haven't been able to hear the last little bit of what you guys were saying. The volume was a little low.
Always the producer.
On the cell phone here.
Always the producer.
Well, no. So I was listening to a lot of different people's calls, and there's a lot of, man, there's so much stuff that you could talk about that you could bring into this conversation. I personally was thinking about, you talked a little bit about sexual harassment and the culture and the environment that we're brought up into, and there's even talk about, like, you know, men are hunters, and I personally don't buy that crap. We haven't been hunters for 100 years.
That's hard to hear, man. Yeah, go ahead.
So, but, you know, beating women over the head. But I think that's part of the lie that we're fed as a society, is that men are supposed to be strong. Men are supposed to be, you know, it's an excuse. It's the excuse that we've been telling people, which is why women allow this to happen and why men continue to do it. Well, boys will be boys is the excuse. Mm. And, the kid is hitting your daughter because he likes you. And so we're feeding in on these excuses.
Love taps, they call them.
What about the excuse of hoes gotta eat too?
Like, mommy, Timmy keeps hitting me. Oh, it's because he likes you, sweetheart. Instead of going, no, you need to hit Timmy back in the face.
I remember that. Love taps is what they were called. I remember she's hitting you. I mean, she likes you, Adam. That's all right. I'm like, I don't know that she hits kind of hard.
That was actually at the beginning of the movie.
But I mean, you can even boil down all of this stuff to the laws that the government makes. Like, the men who get in power stay in power, and they do that by putting women down. If you make women lower than you, they can't take over.
Yeah, there's certainly a lack. Well, you see them in major fields like science, technology, you know, about them getting into the field. You're seeing it starting to loosen up a little bit. But what do they call it, right? The good old boys club, right? I've walked into tons of CEO boardrooms or big company boardrooms. And let's just be honest, the 85 pictures that go down the wall are, well, white middle-aged males that just circle the boardroom, right? And you see that. And I can't imagine. Now, I get a little bit because my mom worked her way up in good old boy systems, if you will, for counties and governments dominated by males. But I won't, again, have that feeling to where I'm walking into a boardroom with, I don't know, 16 white male board members, and I'm the one female who got there only because I'm the bitch, right? Because that's the stereotype you get.
Right. If she stands up for herself, she's a bitch.
That's right. That's the only way she's made it to the CEO practice, right?
And, or I like women.
Right. Or she's she wears plaid when she gets home, right? That's that becomes the accusation that way, man. And it's really, like you said, I do like how you say it, man, is that we haven't hunted for real. And dude, if we went back to actually have to hunting for our food, 85% of males would die in a month. It would be a fucking wrap.
Exactly. And I mean,
speaking of depopulation,
it's the animalistic, that's just the way animals are. And I'm like, no, women are the hunters in a lot of different species. If you look at the lion, the king of the jungle, who catches all that food?
Yeah. Well, look, you tell a Cherokee Apache, you tell a Cherokee Apache woman that men run shit, and you're going to get an arrow in your throat. I mean, there's matriarchal tribes out there that were dead serious that didn't play that way, you know. But our culture, our American culture, has been that. It has been that male dominated role of the homemaker and the. And I want to go back, actually, right? Let's entertain Steve and Patricia for a minute. You, like you said a minute ago, Patricia, was hoes got to eat too, is what you said.
Yeah. And when we were talking about this.
Right, right. So imagine, though, you're a woman in the Western times, right? Orphaned. You find your way out. How do you survive? You know what I mean? How many women were the brides from a brothel, right? I mean, this is where it came from, right? This is almost the objectifying for survival in a way. But we have advanced so far into a reasonable era. And then when you hear shit like these fucking dudes that are jacking off in front of people, right? That and that was sad. Louis C.K. is one of the saddest ones for me. This motherfucker's great. And now, you know, you see this shit and you go, where is the human reason? We're still stuck in this monkey fucking phase.
Where was it when they didn't just say to him, though, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Get the fuck away from him. I mean, that should be so simple in extreme situations like you were referencing. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why aren't you putting a stop to it? You know, like the colleagues that are working together, the comedians are all like talking to each other about like, oh, this person did this and it was funny then. And now that everybody's talking about it, it's not funny to you anymore. You know, like when we were listening to the other show where the guy was talking about when he went to this party and he's talking with all his other group and he leaves and they're all thinking he's sexually harassing someone. And he's like, well, they were all laughing and engaging. What does that mean? Mm. How is he supposed to know if you're not going, you're fucking gross. Instead, you're laughing. How do they know?
Yeah, the social influence and the surrounding culture a lot that tells us what is or what isn't in the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still scary. The way I see it from my female's perspective, I can't say what she said, but I can look at it from my daughter's view the best I can, or my mom's, and what that must have been like for my mom working 30 years, you know, with the glass ceiling present, the good old boy system. You're just the woman who can say this or say that, or stereotypes they get hit with as nurturers or they're fixers. You know, when you get hit with gentrification like that about this is what you do, I think a lot of that perpetuates possibly the issues where this becomes okay.
Yeah, well, and like was mentioned earlier, why do these women wait 30 years or however long it is? It's like, well, that's easy because it was you're a stigma or a pariah or nobody believed you because we've been perpetuating, heck, even in the schools, like I said, it comes from the government down, but even in the schools, it's the woman's fault. If a girl wears something that shows her shoulders, she has to go home.
Right. Yeah. The perception of what she's displaying, if, and that is the sad part. That,
yeah. It's,
yeah. The
it's,
guy, it's I can rock a tank top,
but it is, but you have to think about it too. Why should I? So let's say I'm a man right now. I'm trying to concentrate and work and half your tits are out. I don't want that distraction. It's not, I don't even want to look at that right now. I'm working. Why? You should respect that if that's part of the work atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm glad you say it, but I can hear the progressive millennial that would say, well, that woman is free to wear whatever she wants, and if that man can't control his monkey urges to himself and his perceptions, then that's his archaic issue.
That depends, I think, on the atmosphere where you're at. Where
you're making me sound like a feminist right now.
Well, we're trying to show the different views. I mean, obviously, right. We can both play devil's advocate on each side.
This is
side.
Funny. This is like the reverse. You're saying what he would say, and I'm saying what she would say.
I think there's a method to it.
maybe we planned it that way.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because there's plenty of ways that I could myself as well go, no, I didn't ask for one fucking thing, and I should have turned around and gone, you know, nuts crazy on that guy. But I do believe there's ways to handle things, yeah. You know?
I mean, we it's kind of odd, right, Steve, that we know the culture exists. Like the point I made to Sean was, if you told me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that this is what happened in Hollywood, I myself would not have been like, oh, my God, really? I'd have been like, yeah. Have you ever been to South Beach? Have you ever been to fucking Miami?
Right.
You know, you see it, right? The guy's 607. She just got her driver's license. You know what I mean? You see this shit. And who's the victim there, right? The old guy, the young one, the one who's pursuing, right? These are the crosses, but specifically for what we've been talking about tonight, the place of career and power, when it's used as an extortion piece, this is a subculture I am so glad it's being ripped off from, because I've been in the construction field where I know it's terrible. I've seen it in political fields. I've seen it in medical fields. I mean, dude, I'll tell you this. It's sad he wouldn't come on the show, so I'm not going to put his name out there. But let's just say it's one of those not in hospitals but can do what a hospital does. You usually go there if you don't have insurance. They're all over the country. One of those walk-in facilities, right? He was a CEO of that. And he says, he's been talking to me. He goes, Adam, I spend most of my time in litigation for doctors that are sleeping with nurses. He goes, this is all I do. I'm the CEO. I'm supposed to be expanding the business, but I'm in litigation between lawsuits and people suing each other in HR meetings between doctors taking advantage. So any field that this exists in is what we've been talking about tonight. And that the fact that this is getting revealed, I think, is liberating. And I'm just going to leave it out here for both of you to respond to, is I'm just going to, since I'm devil's advocate all night, where does it stop before it comes too far? Before, right, if you even breathe the wrong way. And I'm going to use Bill Burr's bit, the comedian, who said he used to love kids. Where you'd walk down the street, you see a little kid, hey, little Johnny, how you doing there, Randy? Right, and give him a little rub on the head. You're like, how you doing, buddy? All right, you used, and me too. You used to be able to do that. You high five the kid or whatever. And I love them little kids. Nowadays, man, I'm like, well, as Bill says, get that little fucking thing away from me.
Yeah,
don't look, away. Don't look, don't let him touch me. I'm just staying. And these are the fallouts that come from the mistrust in societies like this. The same as like workplaces, right? To where you can't say anything, you can't say, look a certain way. You can't, you just shut the fuck up and be the drone and don't say anything.
I'm really, really happy that this is coming out this way, to give so many people the strength or even the trust that maybe somebody's going to listen. I do love that. But I do think that we all need to also take some time to set some guidelines of the procedure of when this does come up, because there are innocent people out there that are being accused of something, or if, you know, there's people that are willing to hurt people just because they want that job position. So say you're my boss or you're my competition for this position. All I have to do is say, yeah, I don't know. I feel kind of like he's been aggressive towards me sexually. He's upset now. Dude, you know, we're competing against a position. You would be axed and I would be given that job very quickly. You don't think that, and vice versa, sex-wise, it doesn't matter the gender on that statement. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be one of the side effects of people taking advantage of that, of someone that is maybe just a really friendly, smiley person. That would be a perfect person to say he harasses me or she harasses me, because everybody knows they're already touchy-feely. That's not on the harassing side. But
any place I worked, it was always the women that warned me about the one woman who was just smiley, just happy and fun. It would be the women first that would circle and go, she's a flirt. She, you know, be careful with her, you know, and then like, and then you'd see her get in trouble with something and, you know, the girls would oust her at the meetings, right? So she's over there, just can't be herself, can't be happy, can't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part of where it can go, as well as thank fucking God somebody's finally saying something about what's really happening with these dudes in power. You know, I've seen some sick shit where gentlemen have really went, you know, farther, where I've stood there and I said, I can't do shit right now. There's people that guard you with pistols and I can't say anything, you know, about what's happened. I don't know. I guess what's happening is good. And like Sean said, though, the fog, right? Who's telling the truth? Who's on the bandwagon? Whose career is ending so they get notoriety, right? Who's reaching out that way? And it's sad. It's sad to go, hey, just believe the victim all the time. What about, you want to.
You know that, I'm just going to jump real quick to this other thing with Matt Lowry.
Not Lowry. Definitely not Lowry.
Lower. I've got Lowry on my mind all the time, I think.
Oh.
Matt Lauer. All this stuff that they were saying was inappropriate were clips of what that entire team was filming. Their old film. It's not yesterday. And it was a continuous little bits and pieces of what everybody was witnessing that worked there. Why the fuck aren't they in trouble?
Yeah, for watching.
When they're throwing the clips, I mean, they're still having him as the host. They witnessed him doing all that. They say because they showed the clips.
But again, it's the same thing a molester uses. I'm this, you're that. No one will believe you. I'm the one in power, and that narcissistic, almost evil villain mindset is fucking dangerous. That's a dangerous mental health speaking. That's a dangerous person that believes, like it's Harvey Weinstein. Powerful. That's a dangerous person that believes they can throw around, you know, women's bodies as something that are rented, owned. You know, this is a dangerous mindset that can go further. That's why it's always these rich fucking people that are psycho fucks and all this sexual sick shit. It's because they're done, and so they feel this power that overcomes their narcissistic personality, man. And it can get really, really dangerous with that kind of thinking.
The rich ones are just the ones we hear about. Nobody's going to report that the 7-Eleven owner or the 7-Eleven employee was, you know, saying, hey, let's go back to the freezer. Nobody cares, but it's happening.
Damn right. Oh, dude, it's every job, man. Yeah. I guess I'm irrational to say it's every job. But I can't remember one I wasn't on where I wanted to be like, you know, that boss is totally.
Not even a job. How about the, and this is not sexual harassment, but it's assumption. One of the ladies, or was it a gentleman that said that to us, spend all of his money when we were walking into I think it was the grocery store.
Yeah,
and I was
Steve,
like, bitch, I got my own money, motherfucker. I didn't say that, but you know,
or it's we get just, that a lot.
Yeah.
Steve, check this out, brother. We're walking in to the Publix and the Salvation Army person collected money, you know, the multi-billion-dollar nonprofit bullshit ass Salvation Army company. Still collected money for their, I think it was $140 billion bonus to their board members. And anyway, as we're walking by them, this guy looks at us and makes a little joke about the money or something like that and looks at Patricia and says, yeah, spend all his money. Now I'm like, this is Patricia's a business owner, has been 14 years, right? She's right. And I get looked at as like, yeah, go spend all his money. And now, mind you, we laugh it off, right? Because it was an old guy.
Yeah,
so you and I laugh it off. Let that guy be 25, 35, right? We say something different. But we joke kind of as we walk through. It's like you're spending my money. Like, go spend. That's my punishment for being the guy.
Could you please buy me something while you're in here? I'm low on this.
Right, which is totally not. Yeah. No. I love it, man. And I don't love it, but that's as an experimenter, as a human experiment observer, I kind of go, that's fucking crazy how much it happens.
Have you ever dealt with this, Steve? Steve?
Yes. Steve, she was asking you, have you ever dealt with this on any level? And if you've been accused, please don't admit it here. Contact a lawyer and allegate.
My coworker, Adam.
Not that I know of. I find it's different. The sexual harassment part, that's where I find it's a slippery slope. Like, there's obviously the standard where if you touch someone, you attack someone, you do something like that, or...
Well, the givens in our rational minds.
Yeah, is unwanted, then that's harassment. Verbal, I don't consider that harassment. If somebody's talking and saying sexual things, I consider that just somebody talking, and if I don't like it, I'll say... No, that's okay. But I don't think I've ever been harassed, and I hope that I haven't harassed. But yeah, you never know. And that's what one question I was going to ask you guys. What do you think on the topic of words? Because there's been a big surgence, especially in the millennials, of people being offended and safe spaces and all this other stuff just by what people say. And it used to be, at least when I was growing up, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never harm me. And people used to say stuff and you just dealt with it. I mean, we have rallies and we have all this stuff, and they protect freedom of speech to talk about hate and, you know, Nazis and all this other stuff. Yet now if somebody says a derogatory comment, is that considered a sexual harassment?
Well, what about the comment?
Are you risking people's jobs because somebody flirted with somebody wrong?
Well, yeah, what's the line between that's a nice shirt?
Yeah.
Smile. What's the difference between that and the woman looking at me going, are you, you know, fucking kidding me? I mean, I've been at conventions before, looked at the name tag and been told I'm up here. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm reading your fucking name tag. You know what I mean? I've been in that situation.
Right. You know, what about...
Yeah, but I mean, at what point is it going to be people are getting fired for that kind of stuff compared to the showing the dick pics and
I think that
something out? And
I think verbal is actually a humongous problem when it comes to sexual harassment, because that's like the first step. That's the leading up. And I think that is a big deal. What about Hoffman? I think it was Hoffman that said to the little young 18 or whatever, maybe she was, let's just say she was 19, just to even not have to address the other one, a bowl of clitoris soup.